movies that you ought to be acquainted with. Perhaps never had the opportunity of taking it to read and seek to understand something of what the Bible is all about. So we just like to give you another opportunity this afternoon to receive a copy of God's written word, which of course speaks about his living word, his son Jesus Christ. So we offer you a copy, so an extract from the Bible, yours to take and do with as you will, to read and perhaps maybe come to an understanding of God himself, his great mercy, compassion, purity of course, holiness, and of course what it is that he requires of you and I, so that when we are done with this life, because well, that must come to all of us, the 100% statistic is that we all of us, sooner or later, will go the way of all flesh. But it is appointed, the Bible says, for man to die once. So we're all going that way. But of course, the big question is, what comes afterwards? Some people, in their unbelief, they say, well, you know, 6 feet of earth, it's over, end of story, finito, black hole, unknown. Well, the Bible reveals these things to us, you see. It's appointed for man once to die, but after this, says God, then comes the judgment. So the question, where will you spend eternity, or are you right with God? Yeah. Or how does a man get right with God? These are the ultimate questions, and questions that you and I, we need clear answers to. It's obvious to anyone with a measure of understanding that religion is not the answer. We've plenty and more of that. It's coming out of our ears, you might say. But that never, the Bible declares, saved anyone. No, it's good news that we need. It's a person that we need. It's the gospel that we need. The gospel, the word means good news. And it's good news, looky, about a person, Jesus Christ, who the Bible declares to be the Son of God with power, by his resurrection from the dead. It tells us what he did, that he died. He died an atoning death. He died for the sins of others. And it tells us who he did that for the ungodly. Those, that is, who are contrary in nature, in practice, in life, to God and to his ways of holiness. So the question is, how does a person get right with God? And how does a person, well, when they're done with this life, when they lay their weary bones in the grave, how do they live with, how do they have the assurance, the comfort, that when they're done with this life, that they are going to go to heaven? Instead, of course, that place of final, the final consequence and outworking of our sin, and that is separation from God. That is for all eternity. Bible tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Tells us that the result of sin is, well, catastrophe, as you can see You have the evidence of this before you, do you not, in your world today? The outworking of sin and the lives of men and women is absolutely horrendous. Why you live in a broken world just now. But of course that's not the end of it. For some people, they think they live under this great delusion that, well, when I'm dead, when I come to the end of my life, at least it's over then. All the afflictions, all the difficulties, all the suffering, it will be over. But that's not, again, that's not what the Bible says. No, it is appointed for man once to die, because the wages of sin is death, but then after this, then comes the judgment. Permit me, if I may, to read just a few words from the Bible that will hopefully make it clear to you just exactly what it is that God requires from you in order to escape those final consequences of your sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then, what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law that is of God. So you see, a person is justified through faith, and faith, of course, that is in Jesus Christ, God's Son. Not your favorite particular religion, or the one that perhaps you were raised with and maybe embraced because it was the religion of your fathers. No, faith and faith alone through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is what justifies, that is, makes right a person with Almighty God, assures them of the forgiveness of their sins, and of course also of one day a home in heaven. But many people, of course, they live with a fanciful notion. They're not quite sure just how, but somehow or another they will get to this place, heaven. That people have a natural belief in heaven is assured to me when I read such as your bereavement columns, you know, in your local Sentinel newspaper. And I read of dear beloved ones of yours that have passed from this world, and I read the comments. They talk about them as being at peace now. R.I.P., of course, is the favourite saying, isn't it? Rest in peace. And, you know, heavenly speech. And I wonder sometimes to myself, on what basis do people make these assumptions? You see, we all like to think that when we're done on this earth, somehow or another, you know, we weren't really bad people, and God surely must accept us. We never robbed banks, we never did the terrorism, and we never did the drugs, maybe. And so surely God must accept a nice, respectable person like you, and your end will be in heaven. Well, I want to tell you, it's the very reason why we come out here Thursday by Thursday, because we want you to have a sure and a certain, a well-grounded hope of heaven. And that, of course, you can only have when you have made your peace with God. The matter needs to be certain, not just a fanciful, wishful thinking that one day you'll get to heaven. You need to be absolutely sure, clear about it, unless your sin's dealt with, unless you've been forgiven, unless there's been a deliberate, conscious willingness in your part to receive Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour. I tell you, you have no grounds, none whatsoever, for hoping that one day you'll get to heaven. Some people, of course, I have a leaflet here. Maybe perhaps I could share one or two with you. It's a checklist, if you like, and it says, are you going to heaven? And it gives us a list, you know, of the things that people, they put their hopes, their trust in, that they will get to heaven. And the first of these is that without any trusting in Jesus Christ, all kinds of things, for instance, the Ten Commandments, what I've just read to you from the Bible about God's law, summarized, of course, you see, in those Ten Commandments. And some people think to themselves, well, I may have broken them in the past, but today, hearing this, I'll set myself and I'll keep those commandments of God. And I'll keep every single one of them. Well, I bid you take a perusal through those Ten Commandments, each and every one of them, and then come back and tell me you've never lusted after the other sex, you've never told a lie, you've never desired anything that you shouldn't have. And so it goes on, and people read those commandments and tell me, you've kept every single one of them, absolutely perfectly, every single day of your life, and every moment of your life. Because that's what God requires, absolute and utter perfection. And so even were you to start from today keeping those commandments, or trying to keep those commandments, you would be bound, just like everybody else, you would be bound to failure. And so, without that perfection, you could never reach heaven. You see, those commandments were given to us for another reason, the Bible tells us. To teach us. To be like a school teacher to you. You know, to inform you with regards to the ABCs of the gospel. That is, first of all, that you're a sinner, you've broken those commandments, you can't keep them no matter how hard you try, and that coming to that realization, you begin to look away from those commandments, and you look to God's Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who can save you. Not through keeping the commandments, but through trusting in God's appointed Savior, Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Then some people, they think, well, you know, giving to the poor, giving to works of charity. There's a lot of people, of course, who are going hungry in the world, and there's a lot of people who are suffering as a result of war, all kinds of things. And there's some very good and splendid charities that have been set up to help such people. And some people think that, well, by giving to such charities, or maybe even working for them, giving yourself to helping and delivering people from poverty, that will earn you some brownie points, that God will ignore all the wrong that you've done. And because of all these good things that you've done and given your income to, perhaps, or your time to, well, God will look upon you with some kind of favor and allow you into heaven. Well, that's the very reason, you see, we're here to proclaim the gospel to you. Because no one ever entered heaven, got to paradise by good works or by keeping God's commandments. Works of charity are fine and good. We ought to help the poor. We ought to help those who are suffering in the world. Of course we should. But we still need the gospel. It's only through believing in God's Son, Jesus Christ, that a person can be justified, made right with God, and be assured of entrance into heaven. So that's one. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. It's just the sheer gift of God, you see. The mercy of God revealed to us in Jesus Christ, His Son, and granting to us, giving to us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift, the sheer unadulterated gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, nothing that you can do, just simply receive by the hand of faith, receive God's Son. Receive the living Word of God into your heart, your life, and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we go on to say that neither good works, trying to obey the good rule. That's a classic one, isn't it? Do unto others as they do unto you. We love this golden rule. And if we treat others the way that they treat us, that is, be nice and kind. I don't know what you're supposed to do with the bad ones, the ones who treat you nastily. But you know, if I'm just kind and good towards others, and you know, do nice things for them that do nice things to me, everything will be fine, everything will be good. When I lie down on my deathbed, breathe my last, God will favor me and receive me into His heaven. Well, the Bible says, listen up again, please, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you see, people, not by any kind of works that you or I can do or would do will get you into heaven. Then some people think that being the member of a church is the answer. no matter what kind of church it might be, as long as your name's on the roll, as it were. You know, maybe you don't attend fairly regularly, and you don't submit to the dictates of the church. That doesn't matter, as long as your name's there, and you turn up occasionally, maybe perhaps Christmas time, Easter time, weddings and funerals and such like. When people go into hospital, even today, they're asked the question, I do believe, of what religion you are. How many people would just put down C of E, Roman Catholic, or whatever your background religion might be? Of course you're a Christian. You live in Britain, don't you? And maybe perhaps you were christened by the vicar when you were a baby. And of course you're a Christian. Of course you're going to heaven because you're a member of the national church. Well, people, that won't get you to heaven either. It's just wishful thinking. No, listen to what the Bible says again. Before a holy God, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's the very best of our deeds. They're all, God says, like filthy rags. So belonging, being the member of a church, and I don't say that that's a bad thing, not altogether, so long as it's a Bible, believing and preaching church, that is, to be a member of a church, well, you ought to be. Of course you ought to be. But that won't get you to heaven. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that a man, or rather as the Bible says, that a man is justified, made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and that alone, nothing else. Whether a member of a church or not. Not through keeping the commandments of God, not through good works, charity or otherwise, or being the member of a church, none of those things will ever get you into heaven, into God's paradise. So you see, you can do all these things and more, and you can even do religious things. Many people do. They dress up religiously, and they engage themselves in what we would call religious rites, you know? And different churches, of course, have a different variety of them. And some people even, they put their trust in these things. But none of these things justifies a person. You can be as religious can be. There was a religious man one day who came to Jesus, asking him questions about what he was doing, the miracles that he was performing. And I assure you, he was more religious than probably the most people here in Hanley this afternoon. And Jesus told him quite clearly, he said, what he said, you teach other people religion and you don't understand these things. And he said to him, you must be born again. He said, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter, he cannot see, let alone enter the kingdom of God. So you see, there has to be a new birth. There has to be a new start. There has to be a new heart. That heart that's unclean, those righteousnesses which are as filthy rags, all must be made clean, all must be purified in order to be acceptable to God. A man must be born again. He must be made a new creature in Jesus Christ. That alone will do. All the religion in the world, you see, doesn't make a man or woman right with God, whatever the variety of the religion be. Christ. It's the living Word of God that you need. And then there are some people who are born, don't you know, into Christian families, you know, and they grow up with the gospel, and maybe perhaps there's such a person here this afternoon, and you say, oh yes, I remember my mother, my father, or maybe your grandparents, my old granddad, oh, he was a Bible believing Christian, maybe he was even a preacher. And you say, yes, I come from a godly family. They brought me up in the Bible. They taught me the Bible. And I remember all these things from my childhood days. But you don't get to heaven, people, on the back of your grandfather's faith, your mother or your father's faith. No way. People, it is only through a personal faith, a personal, conscious, willing, trusting of Jesus Christ yourself, there must be a personal reception. The Bible says, to as many as received Him, Jesus, that is, to them He gave the right, the authority, the power to become children of God. You cannot be a child of God, and you cannot go to heaven on the back of somebody else's faith, whether it be your parents or anybody else. A personal, only trusting Jesus Christ yourself will justify you before God. And so, of course, well, we could go on, but the Bible makes it clear, people, that God's way of salvation, the Bible and the Bible alone, gives you a clear and a definite answer to the question, will you go to heaven? And the only way, people, is through faith in Jesus Christ, who Himself says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No other way, no other person can get you to heaven. Only the Lord Jesus, whom we declare to you this afternoon. But you see, the possibility is there. You see, you don't have to live in unbelief. You don't have to live with the fear, of one day departing this world and going to hell rather than heaven. I mean, it's a good and it's a serious question, and one that you might not like to think about, and you perhaps would not be thinking about it were we not here this afternoon. No fear of God before their eyes, the Bible testifies, of the majority of people in our land today, no thought of God. Unless, of course, the preacher were here telling you about Him. But you need to think about Him. You need to think about the future. Don't many of you think about your pensions and how it's going to work out for you in old age? How will you cope and who'll look after you and such? Well, people, there's a time coming when you're going to lay your bodies in the grave. You're going to lay these earthly habitations of your soul in the grave. And where will your soul go then? The Bible says, when a man dies, a woman dies, their soul departs and it's returned to God, and God dispenses of it as He, well, decrees. And of course, well, the defining thing is whether you have faith or not. Faith in Jesus Christ, that is. Not just faith in God itself. You know, some people say, well, I believe in God. Well, the Bible says that the devils believe in God, yet they tremble at the very thought of His name. You say you believe in God, but it doesn't change you. It doesn't alter you. You don't you don't believe, you don't trust in, and walk with and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, people, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in the Son of God, is what God requires of you, demands of you, in order that you might be justified before Him. It's something, you see, you cannot do for yourself. God has done it for you in the giving of His Son. For God so loved the world, you see, that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting eternal life.
What do you think God thinks about homosexuals?
What do you think He says?
Well, I hope He
loves them, certainly, but would have them to be saved through faith in Jesus Christ, because they're sinners like everybody else. Yeah, whether a man or a woman is a drunkard, a liar, sexual sin that isn't necessarily homosexual, that sin is just as accountable as any other sin. So they need to be saved too, just like everybody else.
Okay.
Yeah? And God's made provision for them.
Okay.
Have a nice day, girls. So, you see, people, faith and faith alone is the bottom line. God has done it. He has done everything through His Son, Jesus Christ. He has given us the gift, the wonderful free gift, eternal life, through His Son, Jesus Christ. And all that's left, I say all that's left for you and I to do is simply to trust, to lean upon Jesus, to forsake our own works, to give up any thought that we can save ourselves, a do-it-yourself job. Many jobs you can do yourself, and I dare say during this time of holiday, B&Q will be very, very busy. You can rebuild and refashion your house yourself, but you can't rebuild and refashion your life and soul yourself. God must do the renovating work. He must wash you and make you clean. He must sanctify you, make you holy. And a person, of course, is only judged to be such when they put their trust in Jesus Christ and what He did. Not what you've done, but what He did on the cross in dying for ungodly sinners to release them from the fear of an eternal lostness and to give them the wonderful comfort and assurance. When I die, I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah! When it's over, I'll fly away to heaven, sin no more, and for all eternity enjoy God forever. But you can only live with that joy, that happiness, that assurance, when you know that you have consciously and deliberately chosen Jesus to put your faith and your trust in Him. So that's really what we're asking you to do this afternoon. And if you'd like a copy of God's Word, His written Word, to take home with you and read for yourself, see that these things are so, and question it, you know, come back to us. And if you find anything contrary to what we said to you, well, come and speak to us about it. But take the written Word of God home with you. Perhaps you could do even better. You could take God's living Word home with you, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Ask Him in the quiet recesses of your own heart. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell Him about your sin, your neglect of Him. Tell Him about your unrighteousness. And ask for forgiveness. It must begin somewhere, you see. And this is how it begins, with a man or woman calling upon the name of the Lord. That that's how a person gets saved. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened up to you. So ask him for salvation. Ask him for the assurance of heaven one day. So, if you'd like a copy of God's book, you would like someone to pray with you, we would be delighted to do so. But people, take God's word home with you and see for yourself God's good news, salvation through his Son Jesus Christ and faith in his name. You'd like one, please do come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious souls.